Kerakote, called Dave Moskowitz Aho. Shalom Aleichem, Salam Aleichem, peace be with you, and a warm welcome to all. I'm Dave Moskowitz, and as David said, I'm the Jewish co-chair of the Wellington Abrahamic Council of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. I'm also a past president of this synagogue, Temple Sinai, and I'm a software developer by trade, and have spent much of my career slinging code, as we say, and more recently working with companies deploying AI in educational settings. As David mentioned, I completed my bachelor's degree with honors at the University of California, Berkeley, with a degree in computer science and a minor in linguistics in 1981. My honors thesis was an AI project designing a natural language interface to a bibliographic database so you could walk up to a terminal in a library, as we had back in those days, and ask questions like, where can I find books by Mark Twain? Surprisingly complicated question for a variety of reasons, but just asking the computer, where can I find books by Mark Twain? I came to the conclusion in 1981 that in order for a computer to understand fully natural language and for artificial intelligence to be truly intelligent, or what today we would call artificial general intelligence, AGI, it would have to fully understand what it means to be human. That would require a truly tremendous amount of compute power and storage, somewhat confounded by the fact that even now in 2023, we still don't have a thorough understanding of how the brain works. I believed this in 1981, and I still believe it in 2023. We're still a long way away from machines being able to truly understand what it is to be human. Talk more about this in a bit. What I hadn't anticipated in 1981 was the rise of stochastic methods using extremely large databases of language that have been used to create today's large language model-based generative AIs like ChatGPT or Bard, which provide a sort of simulacrum of conventional language. These AI systems have no real understanding of language inputs they consume or of the language outputs that they produce. They're just a bunch of statistical algorithms trained on a phenomenal amount of text to determine what the most likely string of characters is that's going to occur next. It's been compared to autocorrect on steroids. Right? So think about how you type into your phone and it guesses the next word. That's basically the way today's large language models work, with a lot of extra stuff, of course. This has little to do with true cognition, thinking, or intelligence, and we'll talk about that in a bit more, too. Tonight, I'd like to explore how we can view artificial intelligence from a religious point of view, drawing on my own Jewish experience. And the key question here is, what are the spiritual implications of artificial intelligence? Now, I don't talk about this a lot in my professional life, as some people find it a bit woo-woo, and it's not fashionable in this day and age to be religious. Hands up if you've ever encountered that in your workplace. It's not fashionable to be religious. So if you're not a religious person yourself, I hope that you'll still respect me in the morning and not ridicule me for having an imaginary friend that is not an AI. And that you'll agree with me that even the most rational of us has an inner yearning for spiritual connection to other people and the universe. It's worth noting that the idea of an artificial human, a golem, or body without a soul, is very old in Judaism and goes back to the Babylonian Talmud, Book Sanhedrin 38b, in the early period of Rabbinic Judaism, over 1,800 years ago. They were thinking about this stuff. How do we have a body? You know, how do we create an artificial human? This idea was further developed through the Middle Ages, and the best-known example of this is the famous 16th century story of Rabbi Yehuda Lo of Prague, who creates a golem to protect the Jewish community, but that golem runs amok, threatening innocent lives, and has to be destroyed by rewriting the golem's programming. Right, so if you're interested in how 16th century people programmed golems, we can discuss this during question time. If we're going to talk about spirituality, we need to think about if an AI could be considered to be equivalent to a human. And I'd argue that from a spiritual perspective, the answer is a hard no. And this is likely to be the case for the indefinite future. So why is that? Well, at a physical level, humans are biological forms and AIs are simulations running on machines. In Jewish thought, and according to our creation story in Genesis, humans are unique in that we were created in the divine image and endowed with a soul. Now, I'm not a biblical literalist, and you could equally argue that God was created in the image of humans. But that said, there will always be human characteristics that can't be simulated by deterministic automata. We humans have an inexplicable biological connection to each other and to the universe. And referring back to the creation story, everything changed when we ate the apple and acquired the knowledge of the difference between good and evil. So the concept of a soul is significant, and I believe that this is the key thing that humans have that an AI or a machine just can't have. But what is a soul? What is the soul that we're talking about? Well, in Jewish thought, there are three different Hebrew words defining the three levels of having a soul. The first level, the very basic level, is nefesh, and that refers to life itself. And in our creation story, it's what God breathed into Adam to give him life. It is the thing that separates animate beings from inanimate objects. It's nefesh. The second level of soul, ruach, refers to consciousness and emotions. These are the things that drive our everyday decisions, how we conceive of ourselves, and how we relate to others. And the third level of soul, neshama, refers to intellect, morality, and our connection to the divine. And this is the thing that separates people from other life forms. Right? Intellect, morality, and connection to the divine. Only people have that, and not animals or other things. So these three aspects of soul are what make our lives sacred and cannot be performed by a machine. Now, the Talmud tells us that whoever destroys a single soul or a single life, it is as if they have destroyed the entire world. And whosoever saves a single soul, is it as if they have saved the entire world. You'll find this proverb, or a fakatoki, in the Muslim hadith as well. So, placing a very high value on human life will be a critical principle in a post-artificial intelligence world. As we talked about briefly before, today's generative AIs are driven by stochastic algorithms. Their transformers are trained on large data sets harvested from the largely wealthy, white, cis-het, male-dominated internet to produce convincing outputs, not a thorough understanding of the why of things and the nuance required to master moral or spiritual implications of a subject or take accountability for their own actions. Trained in this way, generative AIs are only as good as the data that they're trained on, which is necessarily biased. And when faced with incomplete or inaccurate training data, they can hallucinate, which is the term practitioners use for inventing plausible facts which are demonstrably untrue. Here's something you can try at home. Ask ChatGPT to, quotes, give me an accurate count of the number of words in this sentence, and it will give you a wrong answer. So it's that basic, right? You think a machine would be able to understand that, count the words in the sentence? No. Remember, autocorrect on steroids, it thinks that the answer that you want is 12 and it's really 13. Humans must control the things that they create and train. Anyone who has ever written a simple computer program will understand unintended consequences and side effects. See Anne laughing there. She's a computer programmer back from my day. This becomes even more important as the things we create become more powerful and lifelike. Going back to golems, any sin that a golem committed was considered to be a sin of its creator. And we would do well to remember this as a society so that we can keep the creators of AIs accountable for the actions of their creations. You might say that the landscape will change when we graduate from our current crop of large language model-based generative AIs and develop an artificial general intelligence, but I believe that that's still a considerable ways away. To be truly intelligent, an AGI would need to fully understand firsthand what it means to be human, from sucking on your mother's breast to learning language by example to having a fight in the schoolyard, to your first love, to being feeling betrayed by those you trust, to rejoicing in the success of others, but mostly craving deep connection to other humans, contemplating the meaning of life, and of quintessential importance, understanding the difference between good and evil. Anything less than learning these things through experiencing them as a human is a low-fidelity simulation, a derivative story about a story. So half of the answer to the question, what are the spiritual implications of AI, is that for AIs, there aren't any spiritual implications because they are not spiritual beings. They are golems of one form or another, devoid of a soul, mechanically following instructions and models designed by humans. But the other half of the question is, what are the spiritual implications of AI for humans? I believe that AI will have far more impact on humanity than the internet did. It is an incredibly powerful tool that can help us become much better people. AI can help us live more healthily, better understand the world around us. It can help us express ourselves better, and it can even help us connect with other humans as well as the divine. As we just heard, the value of life or the value of a soul in Judaism is paramount, and you can't have spirituality without life. AI has shown itself to be even better at human doctors at some tasks, like diagnosing serious diseases, such as cancer, and there are also new antibiotics that are being designed by AI to help preserve human life. As a research tool, AI is second to none in helping summarize centuries of thought in a cogent way. But check your citations. I found this useful in my own religious study. As an aside, if you saw the blog post for this event, anyone remember the blog post for the event with the image of a rabbi and a mom and a nun and a robot, right? I asked an image generator, in this case it was Bing, to produce an image of a rabbi and a mom, a nun and a robot discussing religion. It only took 5 minutes of effort on my part and produced quite a good drawing, which I decided to include in the blog post. So there you go. It can be super useful in some ways. There are stories of clergy from different religions using ChatGPT to write sermons, where the AI-generated sermons were wildly more popular than sermons written by humans. Your mileage may vary, but I can confirm that some AI-generated sermons I've read are better to me than some of the sermons I've read written by humans. And if we can understand our history and philosophy better by using this tool, and if it can help us to discover richer meaning in our lives, then that's a really good thing. But the real spiritual dividend from AI will be in liberating us from the drudgery of the daily work, which will give us more time to concentrate on the things that make us uniquely human: spirituality, creativity, philosophy, the arts, and forming stronger connections to each other and the divine. But this won't happen by itself. We need to work together to ensure that the benefits of AI are shared universally with our fellow humans, and not just for the benefits of the overclass, according to moral and ethical principles such as those provided by our spiritual traditions. AI will fundamentally challenge some of the basic precepts of capitalism, and it will be up to all of us to ensure that the post-AI world is better, fairer, and more fulfilling than the pre-AI world. Instead of worrying about AI taking our jobs away, we could be imagining a world where humans don't have to work, and the benefits of having machines do the work for us are shared equitably. It will enable people to value each other in a much more meaningful way, not just your annual salary or how much property you own, but perhaps, among other things, on how well you've understood the difference between good and evil, or whether you can love your neighbor as yourself. If the Industrial Revolution turned us into machines, then it's our job to ensure that the AI revolution liberates us to become better humans. And finally, we have an unnatural fixation on creating artificial intelligence, but intelligence is not the only human attribute that matters. Far from it. In addition to artificial intelligence, we need artificial empathy, caring, love, and spiritual connection. These are the things that make us human, and our future ability to survive and thrive depends on them. Let's work together on that. Norera, tena koto tatoa. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to the discussion later on.